Okay. This is part B, I'd say. Last week was part A of the discussion of the 3 weeks. We dealt with a topic last week that needs further development because we started talking about Ra and how Ra is a creation of man and how from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, so to speak, perspective, or from reading how Hashem describes the world that He creates, there's no Ra. It's all Tov and Tov Ma'od. So we need to talk about Ra because we know that we said last week, the main principle that we said last week, we're not going to go back over it, we're going to develop upon it, is that the Bein HaMetzorim, this narrow place, so to speak, Gesher Tsar Ma'od, the whole world is like a narrow bridge. Right, we talk about a narrow place, a place that is confined on two sides. He said, this is not just the 3 weeks. This is all of our individual lives, and Jewish history can be understood through the concept of the 3 weeks. We spoke about the idea that Hashem gave, bequeathed, so to speak, Hashem bestowed upon the world two basic forces, powers, or gifts to humanity. One is... And these two gifts are expressed through the name. Remember this? Yud, K, Vav, K. We said the letter He means. What does He mean? He. The letter He. It says, Ela told the Shemayim Ba'aretz. This is a story of the generations of the heavens and earth. Behi Bar'am. In their creation. And we said, Behe Bar'am. Hashem created the world with a He. That hay that Hashem created the world with, you find that hay twice in Yud Ke Vav Ke. And hay means what?
The future.
No, hay doesn't mean the future. Giving, correct. Yosef said to the Mitzriim, hay lachem zera, I give to you seed, v'zaratem es aretz, you shall plant the land. Hay means to give. Hashem gave us two things. The first thing Hashem gave us is represented by the Yud that precedes the first Hey in Hashem's name, remember? And the second thing Hashem gave us is the Vav that precedes the second Hey in Hashem's name. We said Yud means what? These are basics, fundamentals, that's why we need to review them. What does Yud mean? The letter Yud. Remember we talked about Az Yashir? When you put Yud in front of a Shoresh, it becomes, or in front of a verb really, it becomes future. So Rashi says in Perek Tesvav in Shemos, after giving a couple of examples of verbs that become future when you add a yud, Rashi says, yud al shem hamachshava. Yud represents thought, intention, right? Remember this? Because when something does not exist yet and you say that it's going to happen or what you're going to do or what someone else is going to do, that concept of what they're going to do lies in your hope, in your mind, in your thought, your expectation. It doesn't exist yet. It's machshava. So yud, the letter yud, in and of itself represents the concept of thought. And in the big picture, as we always speak about here, when Hashem creates the world, this world with a hey, and this world that is Hashem creates with giving, with two great gifts, so to speak, two enormous forces that Hashem bestowed upon this world. One is the capacity to conceive of things that don't yet exist. Specifically, if you want to talk philosophically slash a little Kabbalistically, turning each individual person, our own Patafkin, and Klal Yisrael, and eventually all of humanity, our job is to develop ourselves, to mold ourselves into what we call, famous phrase, famous term, the Tzuras HaAdam, right? The proper description, definition of what a human being should be, an individual, Klal Yisrael, humanity, and more really. But that human beings should exist as a Tzuras Adam, the Adam that Hashem wants us to be. We're not born like that. It comes from conceiving of what we could become and then making the choices that lead us towards that destination. When a person imagines that they could become an athlete, or they could become a great musician, or they could be a great lawyer, or a writer, or a righteous person, or a huge scholar, you conceive of it, you have a dream, and then you implement it, and then you get to your destination. That combination of conceiving, and we've spoken about now, conceiving of what is emes from Hashem's perspective, coming to know it through learning Torah, through ourselves, and then making the choice to attach that to our day-to-day life and to implement that through the physicality, that totality makes a person into the tzuras ha'adam, the proper human being, the form of a human being, the form that a human being should take. We said that in Hashem's name, remember? Yod is the capacity to conceive of great things that come from Hashem's world and the world of truth. Hey, Hashem has given that to us. And then Vav, what did Vav represent? Vav always means attachment, chibor, connection. And what are the two things that we talked about with that Vav represent? Six days of creation, the physical Bria, in where we actualize, the arena where we operate. And Vav also, the sixth of Sivan. In other words, through the mitzvahs of the Torah that we're given, we bring these ideas into real life. And that combination is a synchronized, coherent, complete, harmonized Tzuras HaAdam. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Now, these are the gifts Hashem gave us, but something interferes with that, right? Something gets in the middle. That's the 3 weeks. The thing that blocks us off, when we talk about the Bein HaMetzorim, within the wall, so to speak, there's a wall, a blockage, a dam that cuts us off from being able to be attached to the truth as it is being given to us, as we are, to the extent that we are capable of knowing it and integrating it. And then we're cut off from implementation. What gets in the way? Huh? Exactly. Gets in the way is Ra, and that's what we have to develop further today. Ra. We have to develop the concept of Ra. What gets in the way? Before we develop the concept of Ra, which gets in the way, Bein HaMitzorim, Tsar, narrow, okay? By the way, a good image, the Tzavor, the narrow neck between the head, which can know what's right, and the heart, which has the passion, the devotion to do it, to live by it, and not to be in contradiction to what we know to be true, right? That's the narrow neck, so to speak, passageway between the mind and the heart. Now, what gets in the way is Ra. We have to go back and talk about Ra, but we can only talk about it if we first talk about another word in Bereishis and another concept. We just talked about two Hays. Now we're going to add something else to the mix. Two Yuds. Where do you find in the creation of man a word with two Yuds? Famous. Good. Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam Ofer min ha'adama. And Hashem formed, like tzuras ha'adam, that's the word, vayitzar, from the shorish, to yetzer, to form, yitzur, okay? Hashem formed ha'adam, the adam, which is male and females, you know, right? Hashem formed the human being, ofer min ha'adama on one hand, dirt of the earth, in other words, physical, and vayipach ba'apo nishmas chaim, and he invested in man through the nose, a neshama, spiritual. Strange bedfellows, obviously, okay? And that is called the formation of man. The combination of the both is going to be the tzuras ha'adam, the proper form that man should take. Both physical, spiritual, and one physicality representing the spiritual truths that give the person real life. Now, these two yuds, Rashi says, Hashem created us with yud, right, for two existences. Existence in this world, and existence in the next world. So when we say that Hashem created the world with two Hays, which is in the name of Hashem, we're saying that Hashem bestowed upon the humanity two powers, two forces, two gifts. One is to be able to have the mind be one that is literally an extension of, an expression of, to the degree that it's purified and disciplined, of real truth, a vessel for real truth. And the ability to take this whole world and look what we've done with this world. Look what man has done with this world. And in every act of invention, and every contribution, every advancement, bring the truth more and more into the real world. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's Hashem's name. That's what Hashem wants. That's why it's Hashem's name. Because it means how Hashem wants to be known and revealed in this world. It's what Hashem wants. Now, with Vayitzer, two Yuds, Hashem formed us. This is something we relate to. Not the Yud Kei Vav Kei is telling us Hashem's intention for us. The Yitzer, Hashem formed, is telling us what we ourselves are aware of because it's in us. It's in our creation. And that is, we know we exist. on two levels. We exist physically, and we know we exist spiritually. We know we exist fine in a finite world that's temporary, but we intuitively know that this is not the end. And if the way we know this is not the end is because every single human being that ever lived has died, and yet nobody can get used to the concept of death. It's always something that shouldn't be, that jars our, it's an interruption or interference. It doesn't belong here. We don't take it as a natural part of life. We always think it's something that's imposed upon us, so to speak, that really isn't consistent. It's not really consistent with life. It isn't. We reject the concept of a finite life because we intuitively know that there's an eternal quality to every person. That's why people build monuments for themselves and leave things. But the real lasting contribution that every person makes to this world, by the way, is not anything physical, but the Tzelem Elokim, that we've spoken about this, we're not going to go down this road, the Tzelem Elokim, the God-like self that lives on beyond the person in a non-physical sense. That's really our main contribution, our main offspring. Remember this idea? And the memory of the person and their Tzelem Elokim, their God-like existence right here, that lives on after the person, and that inspires. Okay? Now, so the two yuds are telling us that we know we're created for two worlds. And we know that this world is a way to lead us to and to give us, really, to really create for ourselves the next world. Remember we said a while back, when you go to Levaya funeral, and they say the Kel Mole Rachamim at the end, and then they say that the name of the person, Asher Halach Le'olamo, that has gone to their world. What does it mean they've gone to their world? Asher halach li'olamo. In living here, consciously, with a thought, thoughtfully, and with awareness, we take the physicality, and it becomes an extension of MS and a expression in this world of MS, but it does something else too. It lives on, and every choice we make, every thought we think, every word we say, every aspiration we have that's in the realm of truth and goodness and Hashem's truth, that exists, and it creates, believe it or not, and this is getting a little Kabbalistic, a whole world. Every mitzvah you do, it lives on. Just like in this world, there's endless complexity and variety. There's 15,000 species of palm trees, right? Every little nuance of every thought is another form of some creation in the real spiritual eternal world. And then the more a person is engaged, the more they get to their world that they've built, that they can't see while they're here, and it's filled. It's filled with all kinds of, all kinds of, so to speak, plants and animals and people, whatever it is, everything that, I don't know, I'm not using the right imagery, but everything we've created here. It's a whole world full of variety and complexity that we build here. Now, that's what's supposed to happen. But again, what gets in the way? Ra. So we have to talk about that. What is this Ra? Because, as we said, now understanding the Hayes and the Yuds, it's this Ra, which is represented by Shavasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, right? It creates two walls. One wall cuts us off from having truth flow through us unobstructedly, like the Be'er Mayim Chayim, the ever-renewing spring of living water that keeps, filling and filling and flowing, and that's supposed to run unobstructedly to, in imagery, the field that is supposed to water. But what gets in the way? Something gets in the way, a dam, so to speak, and then the field never gets watered and thorns and thistles grow. That's a way of saying if we cut ourselves off from truth and how we're supposed to live, we interfere, Ra gets in the way, then at the other end, the life we live and the choices we make are not an expression of anything that's eternal or MS or good, but some just random expressions of our own perspective, our own interpretations, our own interests or needs of the moment. That's all it is, and it's all basically, if it just represents one person and their particular views and needs, and it's not worth that much for humanity, right? So that's the Ra that gets in the way. Okay, we spoke about it in terms of Shavasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. We spoke about it in terms of leaving Mitzrayim and entering Eretz Yisrael, that it was not the same generation, the interference in the middle. So we're going to talk now about Ra, but now we understand that the human being here, this, needs to make sure that this flow goes uninterrupted, that there's a chibur, a connection, right? We have a way of speaking about that because it gets even a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more profound than just not interfering with the truth that could flow through us. Because we know this. We know something now that really is in the realm of Kabbalah, but I'm not getting into any Kabbalah, just the general conception of it, that Hashem created us, as we said, for this world and for the next world. But Hashem gave us bechira, free choice. And that means that we make all the choices, not Hashem, okay, what's going to grow, so to speak, in that field. Okay, we make the choices of what's going to grow in that field. We are the creators. To the extent that we let the waters flow, so to speak, we'll get more. To the extent that we dam it up, we get less. But in the end, the choices we make are always, sometimes very, very complex choices, taking into account many factors. And some of it is, there's some MS mixed in, some truth mixed in, some sheker, some falsity mixed in, some subjectivity mixed in, some objectivity mixed in, some emotions that are not managed properly mixed in, some properly managed emotions mixed in. It'll be very complicated. Nurture, nature, things we've been exposed to, habits we have, it gets very complicated how we make decisions and therefore what we create on the other side, what actually grows from us, okay? So here we're talking about the idea that a human being is the creator of what is produced here, the creator of their life in this world, and the creator, through their choices, of their life in the next world. We are the bore, more than just a human being. Klal Yisrael as a nation creates realities in this world. Human beings create realities. And here's the thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, because if this is not the case, it's not a God worth worshiping. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, can ensure that the world reaches the destination it's meant to reach. On the other hand, we know that Hashem, by Yitzer, Hashem gave us creative energy. He formed us with the capacity to be a creator, to make the choices. And then there's some incomprehensible interaction between the choices we make and the inevitable, okay, arrival at our destination, which is ultimately in Hashem's hands. That Hashem will act through the choices we make, but nevertheless we'll get to where we have to go. But it's going to be through our choices, both bad, by the way, and good. This, how this works is what we call the Ma'ase Merkava of Yechezkel. Okay, remember when Yechezkel writes that he saw a vision of what's going on up there? The Ma'ase Merkava. And nobody learns it. In fact, the halacha is one Rebbe can teach it to one student properly. That's it. You're not even allowed to teach it to two. It's in the, all of Kabbalah comes from the Ma'ase Merkava. It's an explanation of the Ma'ase Merkava. The Ma'ase Merkava is not like Ma'ase Bereishis. We have two masses, two, right? Masa Merkava and Masa Bereishis. Masa Merkava is Yechezkel's vision of the heavens. What's going on up there? Masa Bereishis is the description of the Bria, of the creation. Masa Merkava is about, well, let's break open the word, break apart the word. What's a Merkava? Okay, what's the Shoresh? Rechev. Okay, now, a horse and a rider, or a horse and a chariot with a driver in it. Okay? Let's think about the horse and the rider. Who is bringing who to the destination? The horse's four legs, the horse's energy, the horse's stamina. Without the horse, where's the rider going? Nowhere. But who's really bringing who to the destination? The rider is making sure the horse gets to its destination. The horse, the horse is trained to listen to the instructions of the rider. That's in the horse and rider example. But in the human being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu example, it's much more sophisticated in terms of that it's not so simple that Hashem is just, that we're trained and obedient and we don't have choices. It's not like that. When we talk about Ma'ase Merkava, we're talking about the secrets of how it possibly could be that we are the bore, we are the creators of our personal choices. History, what happens in history, okay, we make the choices. Hashem does not interfere. And yet, the world will end up at its ya'ad. Remember that? At its destination, which is what? A point where existence, all of humanity, is in complete recognition that there's one emes, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revealed through the Torah, and that the Jewish people have tried to the best of their ability, at least the core of them, to represent that idea as an Or LaGoyim, and that's the only emes, that's the only way to set up life, the only way to set up governments, the only way to set up how we can function here, the only way to bring ourselves to our full potential. That will be totally recognized. That's the destination. How that works together, no human being will ever know. The strange thing is that it works through all of our choices, both good and bad. But the human being is the one that introduces the possibility that the rider will get the horse to its destination, even if the horse goes off course. It'll still end up at its destination. We introduce the fact that it won't be a straight path, that it'll go in a circuitous way, and maybe it'll break a few legs of the horse along the way and more damage, but it'll get to its destination. The fact that it will get there, that's the secrets, that's the Masa Merkava. The fact that it will only get there via the horse, that's also an absolute guarantee. And Klal Yisrael are the horse, so to speak. And the fact that that horse might go through a lot of pain and suffering along the way, that's really a function of Klal Yisrael allowing Ra to be introduced into the picture, obstacles along the way. Now, let's talk about this idea of the horse and the rider, and we being the Bore, we being the creator of what happens, and Hashem acting through our choices. There is a pasuk that has to do with Tisha B'Av and Shavasar B'Tamas that brings a medrash that we've spoken about that we're going to go through again carefully, and then Kliyokar on a different pasuk that is going to explain it even further. The end of the Mishnah in Tanis, they quote a pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Okay, remember this might sound familiar. I hope it does. This is a pasuk from Shir Hashirim, and it says Tsena Ureena. This is the Perek Gimel, by the way, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Shir Hashirim, 3:11. Go out and see Benos Tzion, daughters of Tzion, B'melech Shlomo. Go see Melech Shlomo. Now let's stop for a second. Shir Hashirim, Song of Songs, is written by Shlomo HaMelech. It looks like a love song between a man and a woman. It's between Hashem and the Jewish people, obviously. It's not what it looks like, and you could see from the words itself, it's written in a form of a riddle form that clearly that makes it clear that makes it, no, it make, gives you the, you know, the set, you get an understanding that you're not reading pshat. So, here's what it says. Tzenu Re'ena, go out and see daughters, Re'ena, by the way, we're going to talk about seeing. Go out and see daughters of Tzion. B'melech Shlomo, go see the King Shlomo. B'atara she'itra lo imo, the crown that his mother crowned him with. B'yom chasunoso, on the day of his wedding. U'b'yom simchas libo, and the day of the happiness of his heart. That's the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Chazal, interpreting it, say, B'yom chasunoso, the day of his wedding, ze matan Torah. What's the problem? Go see the crown that Shlomo's melech crowned him with on the day of his wedding. We're talking about not Shlomo and his mother and a crown. We're talking in a metaphorical way. We're talking about the Yom Chasunoso, the day of his wedding, means Matan Torah. So we're talking about Klal Yisrael, Hashem, and on the day of Matan Torah. But what's the problem here? How do you know it's not talking about Shlomo? What's the first obvious proof it's not talking about Shlomo? He wasn't alive at Matan Torah, okay? Second of all, Ubiyom Simchas Libo, the day of the rejoicing of his heart, Zu Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Yibaneh B'Mehermen. This is the Mishnah after the year 200. This is the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which should be speedily in our days, referring to the third Beis HaMikdash. The second one is long destroyed. Okay? So again, is this referring to Shlomo?
No.
Okay. So who is this referring to? So it's very simple. First Rashi and Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. We were told right away Shlomo is writing this in metaphor terms. Shlomo doesn't mean Shlomo. HaMelech Shlomo means HaMelech Shahashalom Shelo. The king, that peace is his. We're talking about Hashem. So this is talking about Hashem. Now let's read it again. Go out and see, daughters of Tzion, B'melech Shlomo. Go see HaMelech Shahashalom Shelo. Go see Hashem, the one whose peace is his. B'atara She'itra Lo Imo, the crown his mother crowned him with, on Matan Torah, and eventually in the third Beis HaMikdash when it will be rebuilt. Who's Hashem's mother that is crowning Hashem with a crown at Matan Torah, and in the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt? Right? Issue. Okay. So, this is solved a long time ago. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai told us what this means. Okay, so here's a Medrash in Shir Hashirim. So, Rav Nechunya said, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asked Rav Elazar ben Rav Yossi, perhaps you heard from your father what the meaning of this is upon the crown which his mother crowned him? Right? This is going back to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And so what does this mean? They're trying to interpret Shir Hashirim. as 2,000 years ago. So now we know what it means. We've known what it means for a very long time now. Perhaps you heard from your father what this means. So he replied, Rav Elazar ben Rav Yossi says, yes, this is a mashal of a king who had an only daughter of whom he was very fond. He loved her so much, he was looking for a way to express that love. He called her my daughter, as it says in Tehillim, which we will go into in a minute, 45:11, Mem Hei Yud Aleph. Shimi Bas, listen, my daughter, Uri'i NC, Vahati Aznech, and, let your ears hearken, so to speak. Again, by the way, listen and see. Remember, go out and see. There's a lot of seeing. See, my daughter, and let your ears hear. Then he loved her so much, he was looking for a way to express his love, and he didn't find a proper expression until he called her my sister. As it says in Shir HaShirim, this pasuk is coming from, Perek Hei Pasuk Beis, Pischili, open up for me, Achosi Rayasi, open the door for me, my sister, my beloved friend, like Reim Ahuvim, Rayasi Reya, which we're going to talk about also. This is a very important word. He called her my sister, my beloved. And then he loved his daughter so much, he wasn't satisfied until he called her my mother. And he brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hakshivu Eli Ami, listen to me, my nation, Ula'umi, and there it's spelled with an aleph, like Ima, Eli Hazina, to me, listen. Okay? So he called, Klal Yisrael brings a pasuk where Hashem talks to Klal Yisrael as my mother. Okay? So, when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai heard this, he stood up and kissed him on the head, and he said to him, if I had only come into the world to hear this, it would be enough. What is this chazal? What is Elazar ben Rav Yossi explained to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? So clearly what this is beginning to tell us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has three different relationships with Klal Yisrael. Okay? And remember, we're thinking about Klal Yisrael as the Bore, as the creator, as the horse with its own independent choices that in the end somehow are going to be, either way, bring us to our destination. Okay? But that the Bechira of the horse is real Bechira. Okay? And not, that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up this way, that he's, in a sense, beholden to the horse, dependent on the horse to get to where he needs to go. Okay? So what's the difference between my daughter, my sister, and my mother? We're talking about different degrees of, not love, think. What is a father and a daughter?
Attention.
Attention. What type of relationship it is? Dependency. Who is in charge? Let's talk about this from who's in charge. Daughter to father to daughter, the father's in charge. The father is the melech, so to speak, and like a melech, right in the mashal, there's a melech. He protects, he provides, he teaches, he guides, fights the battles for, takes charge, takes responsibility for the daughter. That's the first relationship. What's my sister, my beloved sister, wife? They're interchangeable ideas in this case.
Equals.
Clearly equals, sharing responsibility. And what's my mother? Who's nurturing who? The mother is protecting, providing, taking care of the child. Is the life source of the child. That's the mother. The mother is the life. It's the source of life. The child is completely dependent on the mother for its life. So now we're saying that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is hearing here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is in a relationship with Klal Yisrael, as depicted in this by Shir HaShirim, is telling, go see Hashem, the crown that his mother crowned him with at Matan Torah and at the ultimate third bias Rishlishi that will be built. The mother is crowning her son, so to speak, Hashem. What does that mean to crown? When you crown someone, what is it trying? What's the metaphor for crowning? Giving authority to, conveying status upon, raising somebody up so that they are recognized to be now the one in charge, the ruler. When you crown a king, that act of a nation, a coronation, is a symbolic huge, you know, celebration, ritual, whatever it is, that is a demonstration that we accept the authority of the king or queen. We submit. We are under the jurisdiction, the care of, the guidance of the king. Now the mother is crowning Hashem. In other words, through the mother, which is Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be crowned, will be, in the eyes of the entire world, seen as worthy of being worshipped. Recognition of Hashem, HaKaras Hashem, the final goal of history, that all of humanity will come to crown, so to speak, coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say that all the time in Rosh Hashanah. Who's going to make sure that happens? Klal Yisrael in the role of the mother. Now, it's really talking about Jewish history. What era is the daughter? Were we the daughter of Hashem?
That's right.
Till when? Till when? When does this end? When does it end? Think. When does it end that Hashem stops fighting our battles, teaching us, protecting us, providing for us? Where does this end? Where does it end? No, it doesn't, but it ends. Right, the end of miracles, the end of prophecy. What are we talking about? The Chorban Bayis Rishon. For 1,000 years, from the Avos and the Imahos till Chorban Bayis Rishon, Hashem fought our battles. If we were righteous, we never lost a soul. The enemies fell before us. Eretz Yisrael produced everything we needed as long as we kept the mitzvahs, right? That was always the arrangement. And Hashem spoke to us from the heavens and did miracles for us and protected us and provided for us. This was the entire era of 1,000 years of open miracles, Nisim, etc. That's the era of the daughter, where we are being really trained, groomed, being taught by Hashem everything we need to know, and learning and living in a world where we become so used to and so identified with Hashem's governance and protection that it becomes the way we think. It becomes our worldview. Our whole way of thinking is completely different than the other nations. We live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mitzvahs as a given. Right, okay. But then Hashem brings the truths that are supposed to guide this world to this world from the heavens, with, you know, speaking from the heavens, doing miracles from the heavens. Well, Nisim, that's how Hashem is teaching the world what he wants. Then what happens? That doesn't go on forever. Then Hashem begins to take a different stance, so to speak. That's called my sister, my beloved. And that's a partnership. When is that? When is a partnership where we have to bring those truths to the world ourselves, but Hashem also helps us in a basically half open way. We're past the Chorban Bayis Rishon. Now we have to go to the next era of Jewish history. We're past the Chorban Bayis Rishon. We're past the destruction of the first temple. So what's next? Hester Panim. Purim's a little different, actually. Skip Purim. It's the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, okay? The whole era of the second temple. Look, the classical example of the nature of things in the second temple era is Hanukkah. We had to stand up for the truth that this was a Gzeres HaShemah. They tried to eradicate the keeping of the Torah. They tried to disconnect us from our Torah. We had to stand up and say, we're going to die for our Torah. We won't live without it. We're going to sacrifice. We did sacrifice. We took many losses and casualties. We had to fight our own battles, but Hashem was helping us. Rabin Biad Ma'atim, a pretty substantial miracle of the oil burning for 8 days. Hashem was right there with us, but we had to rise to the challenge too. Those 400 years are Achosi, Rayasi, my sister, my wife. When did that change? And what is the last 2,000 years? The mother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu retreats, so to speak. It's not a retreat. No more Nevuah, no more miracles, no more speaking from the heavens, no more fighting our battles, no more providing for us miraculously, not even openly helping us along when we fight on Hashem's behalf. Not even necessarily there to make sure we win. That's, we're moving more and more and more into the era of the mother, where the child, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, you do it for me. And I'm just a child. If you're not going to do it, so to speak, it's not going to happen. And that's the era of the last few thousand years of Golus, where Hashem puts the ball squarely in our court and says, if this world will know anything about Hashem and the truth and the mitzvahs and what Hashem wants from this world, it's only going to come through Klal Yisrael. And I'm stuck, so to speak. I'm the horse, I'm the rider on the horse. If it won't come through Klal Yisrael, it won't come. It must come through Klal Yisrael. And if it takes a long time and it takes this tortuous route, well, that'll be how it is. That's Klal Yisrael's decision. You're the borei. You make the decisions. But I have no options. I will only be known to the extent or crowned to the extent that Klal Yisrael is going to crown me. Now, that is the greatest act of love that's conceivable, that Hashem, who can do anything, will bound himself, so to speak, to an arrangement that it will only be known through Klal Yisrael. Only, the world will only achieve its destination through Klal Yisrael, and that means even our bad choices. Even through the Ra. So now, this being the case, by the way, this is, the Kli Yakar brings this down when Hashem says to the Jewish people before he gives them the Torah, the famous pasuk, the Esa Eschem al Kanfei Nisharim, I carried you on wings of eagles, but Avi Eschem Eli, and I brought you to me, what's the end of the pasuk? V'avi eschem Eli brought you to me. Missing the last couple words of the pasuk. Hold on. Somebody quickly look it up. Perek Yutes pasuk Zion. I got it here. Hold on. Perek Yutes pasuk Zion and Shemos. Okay. Esa eschem al kanfei nisharim v'avi eschem Eli. Now that's the end of the pasuk. So 1 second. The Kli Yakar says this. He says, he brings this medrash that we just talked about. He said it's not talking so much, don't think about it in terms of love, thinking about it in terms of memshala, who rules, who is the one in charge. He says, who is the one in charge? Shemedrash ze medaber, this medrash is talking about the madregot memshala, the degrees of memshala, of authority. Sheyesh leze alze, that one has above the other. Ki ha'av moshel al habat, first the father governs the child, and also the mother. But then the sister or the wife are compatible. And Cain, therefore, mat mitchila, in the beginning, kara Hashem leYisrael bas, Hashem called Yisrael a daughter, because he loved Klal Yisrael and took care of them. Then he called them a sister and a wife. B'shavelach is equal to him. And then more and more zechuyos Klal Yisrael had, and they did their job better and better. He began to call them like his mother. This is madrega gedola. It's even a much greater madrega. And he brings a pasuk here that we are the moshel b'yirat Hashem. We are the ruler, so to speak, in the fear of heaven, that it should exist in the earth. And then he says, "Ve'eye imach, I will." He brings a pasuk. I will be with you. And then he brings down a Kadosh Baruch Hu Karo. Hashem called. He relates this, by the way, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which we're not going to get into. Hakadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov El. Remember that Yisrael. You battled with angels and you prevailed. He called him El. And there's another pasuk where it says, "Ve'yikrolo Kel, base Kel." He called him Kel. He called Yaakov. Well, let's call it El because he called him El, base El. So what that means, he brings down is Lomar. Shemoshel Olav, he ruled over him, so to speak. It's bringing down the same idea. Anyway, the point is that we are the borei, we make decisions, we will crown Hashem, Hashem will be known to us. By the way, Rav Yaakov Emden says that the most astonishing thing of anything to consider, of all the nisim that Hashem ever did, is what we say every single day in Shemona Esrei. Umevi Goel, the first bracha, Umevi Goel, he brings Geula, Libnei B'neihem, to their descendants, so their ancestors. Leman Shemo, on account of his name, that's the rider, be Ahava, in love. Now you say, if it is either Hashem is bringing salvation to Klal Yisrael on account of his name, so he should be known, and that's why he saves us, but or be Ahava, or he's bringing salvation because out of love for Klal Yisrael. Which one? For his name, or out of love for Klal Yisrael? And the answer is the astonishing combination of the two, which is the Maase Merkava, okay, which is that Hashem's name will only be known through Klal Yisrael. And it was an act of great love to set it up that way. So he needs to save us, so his name will be known, which is a great act of Ahava. And how that works, like I said, is the tahalich, the process of how that works to reach a destination, we don't understand. But here's the next point. The next point is that Ra gets in the way, and we have to talk about that for the next few minutes, okay? We started saying, okay, that Ra, what is the shoresh? What does the word mean? What does Ra mean?
Evil doesn't come
out. No, it doesn't mean evil.
No.
Stop. Okay, in the trup, mil el and mil ra. What's the mil ra? Stop. Okay, here's a few psukim. Meshaber brings us down. Paras in Yishayah, Tehillim. Teroim b'shevet barzel. Break them with an iron rod. Stop them. In other words, take a piece, something that's like intact, and break it in half. Right? So it's no longer one. It's no longer complete. Or, for example, in Yishayahu, here's Pasuk, in Yishayahu, Perek 24, Pasuk 19. By the way, you know this Yishayahu that I'm using? Mm-hmm. Rav Schwab on Yishayahu. it's a great work. Okay, here the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yutes, Roa Hisro'a'a Ha'aretz. The earth is broken into pieces. Okay? Ra means to stop it, stop the process from achieving its goal. For example, a chair or a ladder that's shaky, that's not stable, a chair with three legs instead of four is called Kisei Ra'ua. It can't stand. It can't do what it's supposed to do. Ra means it interferes and doesn't allow the process to reach its destination. By the way, stop here, digress for 1 second. A beautiful idea. We had a Rosh Hashiva in our house last week for Shabbos. Rav Shol Gabai. He has a Sephardi Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. Most charming, wonderful, appealing man, Talmud Chacham, Mekubal. He said this word at the table. He was talking about friendships, because it was 3 weeks, and Avas Chinam, and everyone has to love each other. He says, you know, friendships are described in three basic terms. We think about friendships on three levels. There's the Yadid, a Chaver, and a Reya, like Reyim Ahuvim, right? Reya comes from the word Ra. Now, in Hebrew, you often find the word that it means something and its opposite. That happens a lot. So how is Reya related to Ra? It's the same letters, same Reish Ayin. Okay. So first of all, he says, the Yadid is Mishorish Yad, shake hands, how are you, acquaintance, I'll take care of you, you take care of me, we help each other, but it's not a deep bond, it's a congenial, you know, proper relationship based on the mitzvahs of Avdal Recha Kamocha, right, based on, you know, responsibility to each other, Achdus, but it's like a handshake. You care, you do whatever you can do, that's a Yadid. Then comes a Chaver is from the Shoresh Chibur. You're connected to each other, like the two streams of a river that meet, and they run together. But if one stream runs off, the other stream keeps running by itself. So there's a connection, there's a cooperation, a collaboration, a unity of purpose, to the extent that it's necessary, and there's a connection to the extent that it's necessary. But it doesn't imply that without the one that's, you know, the friend, the chaver, a person has nothing. A person still has. Who still is who they are, still has their integrity. But a reya is the following, like a kisei ra'ua, like a chair with three legs. The reya is so integral to the identity of the person and to their reaching their goals and fulfilling themselves that without that person, they are bereft. That person, there are people that Hashem sets it up in this world, that there are people that intuitively, and you feel it like right away, they understand each other, they see the good, the tov, which means the destination, in each other. They're not thrown by some shortcomings that the other one has. Despite the shortcomings, they see the whole person and they like the whole person. They understand the struggles the person is working with, because perhaps they're similar or maybe whatever. And intuitively people feel that there's an appreciation and an understanding, and that helps the person keep persevering to their, you know, to perfect themselves and improve themselves, because somebody there is never going to misjudge them and never going to say they're not salvageable and they're a lost cause and there's, you know, it's worthless, no point to invest any effort into this person anymore. It's not about that. It's an intuitive connection that gives the person the wherewithal to try again and again. That's a reya, that's a good friend. Without that friend, it's ra, the person is stuck. Everybody needs a good friend, right? Everybody needs somebody like that. Now, the idea that ra is an interference, okay? Who creates the ra? This is the subtle idea. It's a little late, but we must deal with this idea. Who creates the ra? In all of the Bria, it's Tov, Tov, Tov. What is ra? Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. We've established a very fundamental point that ra, the understanding of ra is based on. If Hashem creates something and through the Asara Mamaros, the 10, so to speak, expressions of creation, what that means is the world Hashem created is emes. There's an emes in this world, and that emes is the only Tov. To imagine that there's something other than that emes, to imagine a sheker, and instead of realizing that that sheker doesn't exist, it's a fantasy, because the only thing Hashem ever created is the emes, and the emes is Tov, then to take a sheker, as we spoke about, take something that doesn't really exist and view it as good, that is an is a creation of, an introduction of, a illusion, a false concept of existence that does not exist. But guess what happens? When we conceive of that false existence, we actually give it life, and actual bad, what we call bad things happen. For example, here's an example we give. You go to the end of the Empire State Building, right? There's something called gravity. You heard this example a million times. It's MS. It's the facts. So every normal person knows, I don't really want to jump off the edge of this, okay? Because that, you know, appears to the person as a bad thing to do, okay? But if a person says, you know, I don't relate to gravity, to me it's not an MS. I conceive of the fact that there is no gravity. So, you know, imagining a sheker which doesn't exist, a lie, that's not, it's an illusion. I say there's no gravity. It's a fantasy. So I'm going to jump off the thing. What's going to happen? Ra, a bad thing is going to happen. The person is going to... whatever. That's going to happen. If a person imagines a illusion to exist, there will be a negative physical consequence to that, which is going to be very bad. That's how the Balei Machshava conceive of Ra. It's a human invention. In other words, like this. Sin. What is sin? Sin is not after a person jumps off the Empire State Building, Chas V'Shalom, and goes, you know, splat on the ground. That's not the sin. The sin is allowing oneself to imagine that there's no gravity. That's the sin of all the sins. The sin of all sins, the ra of all ra, is to allow oneself to conceive of sheker as having existence, as being something real, and then acting according to it. In other words, something that is contrary to the emes, to the will of Hashem, imagining that it's something that could exist, giving it a life, and everything that happens after that cognitive shift is inevitable, and that's not the sin. The sin is the cognitive shift. Haraya, the proof. Look at how it describes Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas. It spends about one word saying she ate, and all kinds of phrases explaining what happened before she ate, okay? Before she actually did what was against the will of Hashem. And don't forget, Chava is everybody, right? The Isha is everybody. You've heard that before, right? Look what it says. The Nachash says to her, don't eat it. Who's the Nachash? You know who the Nachash is. We don't have to go through this, right? Okay. The Nachash says, Ki Odeya Elohim, Hashem knows that the day you eat from it, V'nipkechu enechem, your eyes will be open, V'yisem kelokim, you're going to be like God. You're going to be creators. But what are we going to create if we eat from the Eitz Hadas? We're going to create sheker as a reality. We're going to introduce a new form of existence that does not exist. And the aftermath of that is going to be pain and suffering in a real way. We are going to be the borei of the ra, because in Hashem's world, it's only tov. So then look at the next pasuk. Look at all the phrases, till she ate. It's all about her cognitive shift. That's the sin. It all takes place in here. Vatere ha'isha, she saw, remember seeing? She saw, not from Hashem's perspective, she saw, she introduced herself in here, right? Vatere ha'isha, she saw, ki tov ha'etz l'machal, it would be good to eat it. Wait, tov we know means that it's capable of reaching its destination. How do we know that's what tov means, by the way? And ra means it stops you? Because the moadim, the Torah calls them moadim. Moad comes from the shorash ya'ad, destination. Chazal call the moadim yom tov. Tov means it can reach its destination. Ra means it can't. She now looks at the tree, which we're told not to eat from, which means subjectivity and told not to indulge in it. And she sees it's Tov. But it's Sheker. So that's a cognitive shift, right? V'chitava hu le'inayim. In all sense, lustful for her eyes. Her eyes started to imagine all the benefits of becoming subjective, of introducing that it's a dam in the river, from the Be'er Mayim Chayim, from the source of living waters to the field. Who are? What's the dam? Our subjectivity. Our perspective of Tov Ra, right? So all of a sudden, it's a taiva. It's all very desirable. It keeps going. V'nechmad ha'etz lahaskil. And it's so pleasurable to contemplate the result of becoming subjective, how it would be if we make decisions and we are the creator based on our perspectives. We take the place of God. We are the borei. Right? Then, v'tikach mipirya. Then she took the food and she ate it. Done. So you're seeing the pasuk is telling you that the ra is, her choice to eat from this etz hadas tov ra, is to see things really not from emes and tov and that's it, but to now see, well, there's an opposite to tov. There's something called ra. It means that ability of me to introduce myself as the source of, or the borei, the creator of my destiny, and I make the decisions. And a human being has that great, yes, the yetzer in all of us, to be independent. We say it in many ways. We spoke about the idea that how astonishing it is that the little ani, I, me, I live X amount of years, I weigh X amount of pounds. I, okay, am so insistent that I am the source, the borei of my choices, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to great extents, the whole Har Sinai, to the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that whole big shock and awe, the whole giving of the Torah, the whole thing is no match for the little ani. Okay, it gets in the way. All right? So here, we're saying that Ra is a human invention. It starts in the head. It says, I perceive of things differently, and I'm going to make my choices based on how I see things. That dams up the river. Okay? That creates the blockage. That's the Ra. We cannot reach our destination. And then what happens is a person's behaviors and choices are a result of their truth, which is definitely not an absolute truth. It's always subjective. It's always limited. It's always very tiny, very, you know, very confused. And now what happens? But here's the nechama. With this we end. Hashem said to us that he wanted to take us to Eretz Yisrael, right? Oh, let's just, for one second, the eagle. Everybody says Klal Yisrael didn't worship the eagle. They knew it wasn't Hashem. Remember, everybody says this. So what was the big sin? The big sin is that they introduced something that could possibly be seen as a substitute for Hashem. You know, that's the whole shift, that there could be an intermediary that you can turn to in place of Hashem. The concept that you could introduce the blockage. The result of that is they don't go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Hashem wants us to go to Eretz Yisrael, and when Hashem tells us to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's always in, go to the land that I will show you. Remember Tavram? Lech lecha el eretz, right, me'er artzecha, el eretz asher arek el amakom, to the place that I will show you. When Moshe sent the spies, he says, go and see the land, if it's Tov or Ra. Okay? We are supposed to see things from Hashem's perspective. Okay? If we can, and we don't allow the Ra, our invention, to interfere, we can progress from what we know, right, to how we behave without too much confusion and interference. But if we start seeing things from our perspective, what's going to happen? Are we never going to get to the land? We will get to the land. It's inevitable. The rider and the horse are in a strange, you know, union. We will get to the land. But instead of lech lecha, now what is it? Halach yelech uvacha. You're going to go while you're crying, but you're going to get there. But you're going to go with tears. Halach yelech uvacha. You're going to go, we say, right? We sing all the time, Shermans. Halach yelech uvacha. You're going to go, but you're going to go with Bechi. What, by the way, is Bechi? Important. What is Bechi? What does tears represent? It comes, the Gemara explains, it comes from the Shosh. Bechi is related to the word which you see in Yetzias Mitzrayim. When Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz, so the messengers come running to Paro, they're all lost and confused in the land. Confusion. You will get there, but through so much confusion. But don't worry, we will get there. There's no question about it. It's the land that Hashem will show us. Our eyes will be open, but we're going to get there through such a tortuous path. Tortuous meaning convoluted and painful. But we'll get there. Even through the terrible choices we make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to where we have to go. That's for sure. The Ra will not take us off track indefinitely. Just make the process that much more, you know, stops and starts and you know, tikkuns along the way. But inevitably we get there. And because we automatically inevitably get there, we end with this idea. Rosh Chodesh Av. Okay? Rosh Chodesh Av is a Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is called the Moed, and the reason Rosh Chodesh is called the Moed is because of Rosh Chodesh Av. We won't go into this today, maybe next time. Rosh Chodesh Av is the source of the idea that Rosh Chodesh is a Moed. Rosh Chodesh Av is a Moed. Moed means it's getting you to your destination. Even the Chorban, even the Gullus, that's the Ra. That's the horse breaking his legs and everything along the way and going this way and that way, but it's going to be a Moed. It's going to get you to your destination. There is no other option because Hashem will only be known through that, through our achieving that end. So we keep going. We have an element of Nechama built in to Rosh Chodesh Av already, before it even starts. Okay. Have a good week, everybody. The part about Ra is in Moshe Shapiro and the Hayes and Yigal, all of it. A lot of it. Wait. Huh?